Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Nature Back, a talk show where we speak about the green future with entrepreneurs and investors. My name is Tarmo Virki, and today my guest is Martin Kelly from Innova Network. Welcome to Nature Back, Martin.
Tarmo, hi. Good to be here.
Tell us what Innova is doing.
So what we do is we have a mission to help halve global greenhouse gas emissions. It's ambitious, and we won't do it on our own, but we help to halve global greenhouse emissions. And we seek to do that with profitable, clean technologies that we have found. These are not our technologies. We just look for what we consider to be the best, and essentially they must be profitable. And that makes the adoption easier and faster. And our job is to globally roll these out as quickly as possible to ensure that we can accelerate the reduction in greenhouse gas emissions, whether that's carbon dioxide or methane. And we have found some amazing technologies. It means that we're very optimistic about our being the planet's ability to reverse climate change. But, and it's a big but, we need a lot of capital, and we need major companies to engage, because they're the ones who can commercialize this.
I remember just a few days ago reading a story saying that, was it 86 companies globally, or was it 59 companies who are creating 80+ percentages of the greenhouse gas emissions. So, you know, we can do whatever we want with our, you know, choice of car or how many kilometers we drive each day. But if we can't affect those 80 companies, it's a kind of lost battle.
Well, it is. And however, the fastest way to affect them is profit. If their competitors are deploying clean technologies which are profitable, more profitable, then that's the way to get this this acceleration in place. Because at the moment, the world thinks of achieving net zero as a cost. And in fact, if you take one industry, for example, which we work closely with, say, the steel industry, McKinsey estimated that it will cost the steel industry $4.4 trillion to switch to net zero. Now, in actual fact, nearly all of that reduction of carbon emissions can now be achieved profitably, which is a massive change. But for that to happen, first of all, the steel industry needs to be aware that these technologies exist. And then there needs to be capital investment to make them happen. And we have a capital raising company partner we work with, who connects us to 500 or so of the biggest investors. And we're just starting to raise capital for these large scale plants. But all the technologies that we found are proven, they're operational at an industrial scale, but generally only nationally, at a national level. So if you think back 30 years or so, maybe that's before your time, it's just about my time. But solar and wind were just emerging with the first very small-scale profitable solar farms and wind farms. And it's taken them 30 years to where they are now going to be probably the biggest source of energy. Well, we don't have 30 years, we have 6 years to 2030. So our role is to accelerate that process with very large scale capital investment, but also to connect with major companies. Because if they're aware of the existence of these technologies, and that in some cases we're happy to run the plants. So if you take for say the cement and steel industries, there's a technology, well, there are a number of technologies now from fuel cells right the way through to biorefineries, which can digest CO2 from smokestacks using algae. The algae converts the smoke, the CO2, into profitable products like fish feed, animal feed, and biofertilizer and food supplements. So carbon dioxide becomes a profitable input for this technology. And it's been around for 30, well, more than 30, 40 years or so, but only in small scale. So that's the it at one from one sense, it's very exciting. But on the other hand, it's tantalizing because you can see every day clock is ticking closer and closer to 2030. March, we've just finished the hottest March on record. So was February, the hottest February. And month after month, it's there. So it is a challenge, but possible. It is now actually technologically and profitably possible to achieve this reduction, but a huge amount has to happen in terms of the scale of the capital investment and so on.
And a lot of kind of the big capital investments, of course, take time. I mean, the massive green steel plants, which maybe raised capital last year, they might be productional in, I don't know, 5 years or a very long time, kind of down the road.
Well, yes, that's true. And that's a very good example because actually, that is part of the $4 trillion that McKinsey's talking about. Right? That is unnecessary now. It is not necessary to switch a steel plant from fossil fuel blast furnaces to electric arc furnaces from renewable energy. That's huge expense and a huge amount of time. Just emerging within the next 12 months to 2 years, these biorefineries where you just plug the smokestacks into algae, algae accounts for half the oxygen we breathe from the oceans.
Oh, okay.
It's the planet's second lung. And every time you have a stagnant pond in your backyard, this green stuff starts growing up on it. But it uses photosynthesis. It's about 100 times more effective than trees at absorbing CO2 per hectare of land. So it's very effective. And the byproducts are amazing. Fish feed is an established product, biofertilizer, omega-3 oil. That's another output. Even cosmetics you can make from algae. So it is possible to convert a steel plant within 5 to 6 years totally profitably. So the smoke, so there's no change to the steel plant. They just carry on burning fossil fuels, but the fossil fuels are converted to these profitable products, which makes it green. So it can be done, and it is. In fact, we're just doing some publicity in the steel industry right now. To invest that amount of money in a steel plant, is just through lack of knowledge that technology has progressed to this stage.
Is there, you mentioned those kind of the first, how would you say, the algae filters in massive scale are due in 12 to 24 months. Is there any kind of existing examples already today where people would be using it in a smaller scale? Whereabout and how they are doing?
So this has been used in small scale for over 100 years. This is not a new technology, but it was grown in ponds and in the open air. And then about 30 years ago, someone thought of putting it in plastic transparent tubes. But now the technology has moved on where it's bubbled through tanks with hugely intense lighting inside, more intense than the Super Bowl floodlights, right? And you, so you, these algae are grown very close to very high intensity lighting all day round. Night doesn't matter. Even in darker places in the Arctic, you can do this. So it doesn't depend on sunlight. It works, but the difference is the industrial scale. You could buy fish feed, you can buy omega-3 oil 50 years ago made from algae. But it took huge amounts of land for a pond. 17 tons of carbon dioxide per acre of land for a pond, whereas the new plants are up to 40,000 tons of CO2 for an acre of land, which is just vastly different.
Absolutely. Tell a few words about how is Inovo functioning? Is it more like a consultancy, or what's the kind of technology transfer role there?
That's a good question. So basically, we're an independent technology developer, like a system integrator. So we search for the technologies, we pick the best ones, which changes all the time. I mean, if you'd asked anybody about algae 4 or 5 years ago, they said, it's too small, not developed enough, and so on, which was true. So we pick the best technologies, and then what we do is we find the commercial partners to deploy them. So we reach out to big industrial companies. We're working with a global chemicals producer, and we've presented a whole succession of technologies. I mean, fuel cells, for example, they've been established, they are proven, they're available on an industrial scale where you put carbon dioxide from bioethanol plants. So basically, they grow corn, they turn it into bioethanol for biofuels, and then you take the carbon dioxide and then you convert it again into sustainable aviation fuel. So when you burn the aviation fuel, the carbon dioxide that comes out is the same carbon dioxide that was absorbed by the corn plants. Okay, so it's a completely circular, and that's being undertaken in very large scale right now, fuel cells. So companies can get very far down that route, but there are 40 different fuel cell manufacturers at least, and they have different. Some are very efficient on land, some work on heat recovery, and some work on e-methanol outputs and so on. So there's and what we so we then evaluate the technologies. We recommend for a particular factory which fuel cells are best. We're independent, but the technology has to be profitable for the commercial partner. Has to be profitable for the technology company, of course, and it also has to be profitable for us.
I like the profitability keyword you're focusing on quite a lot, because at least historically it's been always the choice of either nature or the money for the companies or the investors or whoever is in this field operating. but basically profitability and nature do not kind of rule each other out.
No, and it's unusual actually, because I mean, I'm based in the UK, although we're a global organization, from the US right around the world to China. We have CEOs and executives and so on. But in the UK, we're kind of responsible for climate warming because the Industrial Revolution started here, right, with the coal and steel and so on. And but they didn't have, a COP one and say, wouldn't it be a great idea if we had an industrial revolution to improve everybody's standard of living? It just happened and it flew around the world because it's profitable. Solar, wind have just taken off because they are profitable. So the profitability is essential. And it's very interesting because we do a lot of work in the US. Two members of our leadership team are based in the US in Chicago and Kentucky. And of course, in the US, there's this huge debate between do we want to go green or do we want to be profitable? And it's either or, right? And it's even either or politically, right? So if you're a Democrat, you're going green in preference to profit. And if you're a Republican, you're going for profit instead of green. Well, with this, you do both. That is the beauty of it. You do absolutely both. And if you look at the vast amounts of money that's been pumped in taxpayers' subsidies to green technologies, and green deployment, that should be happening because it's privately profitable. And the money is there. There is, I don't know if you know, there's a site called the Net Zero Asset Managers group. If you look that up online, and it has $46 trillion of capital under management looking for profitable clean projects. So
46 trillion.
yes, it's
That's
huge.
a very big
It
number.
includes the sovereign wealth funds alone have trillions of dollars of capital. It is vast. If you Net Zero Asset Managers, there's about 220 of these organizations who have committed. I mean, organizations like BlackRock and UBS and the big sovereign wealth funds, they have huge amounts of money where they're looking for a range of different types of projects, which are, of course, have to be profitable, but they prefer green as a principle.
Yeah, the number is staggering. I mean, I don't know out, from top of my head there, I don't know the GDP of UK or the US, but it's probably in the similar scales.
Oh, yes, it is. Well, who pays for the debt from the coronavirus, for example? It wasn't governments. They borrowed it. They borrowed it from somewhere, and it was from private investors and other sovereign wealth funds. They borrowed it from petro producing states
Nations,
who have
exactly.
huge sovereign wealth funds. So the
Exactly.
money's there, and the returns on the technologies that we have found generally are they have to be less than 4 to 5 years return payback, and less than that quite often.
You talked in detail the about the algae using for the kind of the carbon sink in a way. Any other good examples of the technologies which, where you guys are involved on getting them to the market faster or in a bigger scale?
Well, I think fuel cells are a very big technology, which I mean, I'm a chemist by background, years and years ago, last century when I did chemistry. But I always they talk about follow the money. I follow the carbon atom. Okay. So fuel cells that can take carbon dioxide and convert it into energy, into heat, combine it with hydrogen, And these are well established technologies, but there are so many different types of fuel cells. They're all profitable. Most of them, well, the ones that aren't profitable aren't doing so well, obviously. They need investment,
Right.
and they survive.
Yeah.
It is a very diverse, complex area of technology. Waste heat recovery systems is another one. Huge amounts of energy are lost from buildings or manufacturing plants in just waste heat. So that is another clever technology. There is going back to the algae. It is you can grow algae, of course, in seawater because all this algae is growing in the oceans, and then there's that can now be grown in deserts. So you can just set up tanks of algae in seawater in the desert, and the sunlight makes the algae grow, and you harvest the output. And the CO2 absorbed in land is about 100 times more than forests, established forests. It's huge. Algae are so much more efficient, especially if you're bubbling the CO2 through, because it has more direct contact than just a leaf. Most of a tree is just tree trunk, and it's only the outside of the leaf that actually has the contact with CO2. So you can actually and we're looking at a technology right now which converts desert into very, very profitable, productive land that takes carbon dioxide out of the air, and converts it into all these products. Unfortunately, it doesn't take carbon dioxide straight out of the smokestacks. You need these other units, but this is very it's a very simple technology, and you can imagine the amount of desert land there is around the world, just unproductive. To convert that into farm producing material, fish feed, animal feed, because the world's poultry growth is the accelerated growth there to feed the planet is huge. Fish feeds are ideal because fish do give off carbon dioxide when they eat, but it gets digested by algae in the oceans, of course. So it's a perfect sustainable environment where you convert desert into highly agriculturally productive areas which are growing on tanks of seawater. I mean,
Wow. Yeah. The
it's
things,
amazing.
yeah, things there, kind of nature is able to, with a little bit of help, to actually make. That's amazing, totally.
Well, all we're doing is doing in a tank what nature does in the ocean.
Exactly. Looking into the 2024 now, when we are in the spring of the year, what are the biggest challenges ahead for you, or the biggest milestones where you want to reach with our Innovo network?
Two things: raising the money for these technologies, but as we start to articulate them, and the company we're working with has helped us to really define, here's the project, here's the output. That's becoming easier, and the other one is the publicity.
Reach
When
out to end up in a podcast talking about it.
well, that's right. That's right. I mean, whenever I'm out talking to friends or at dinner or something, well, I stop talking about this to friends because he's on again about all these technologies. But most people you talk to for the first time are totally unaware these technologies exist, or their understanding is out of date. I mean, it's like, and here's a good example. So many companies we talk to, oh, we looked at algae, and it take you need millions and millions of square miles to absorb CO2, and that was true, and that was true 4 or 5 years ago, but it's not true now. So it's like saying, I tried internet search on Google and it was no use, but there's this thing called AI. and Copilot and Gemini now, and it's totally changed. You know, it's
I tried internet search on Alta Vista and it didn't work that well, so
exactly.
yep.
As you can remember Alta Vista, where
Exactly.
it's yeah, no, it's it is changing incredibly rapidly, and so much money is being pumped into it, but it is compressing the time to get that deployed. That's the challenge, and that is a matter of publicity because big companies move very slowly. But if a competitor deploys a technology, well, let's take the cement industry, the steel industry, right? Who are investing vast amounts of money, we would say now, knowing the technologies there, they are wasting vast amounts of money to convert plants when they don't need to do that. All they need to do is connect the smoke up to these either fuel cells, which are there and industrially available right now, or then to these biorefineries, which are a couple of years away. They don't need to invest, waste that money at all. And in fact, we raise the investment for the fuel cells or for the biorefinery. So we do the investment, but then we get the profit from the outputs. So it's costing them nothing. They just give us the land and the smoke, and away we go. Well, from a competitor point of view, if you, as a cement company or a steel company, are investing billions, and they are, in these pointless conversions of perfectly good plants and perfectly acceptable technologies, and your competitors aren't, then they have a huge advantage. The Accenture and the World Economic Forum estimated that for these industrial products, there's a green premium price to be paid. So if you want a car that's made completely out of green steel, it's going to cost you something like 20% or more, right? Paying for
Logical.
all this conversion. Well, that's a huge cost when it's unnecessary. So
Exactly.
someone who comes out with a steel plant using fuel cells, not emitting CO2, and selling genuinely green steel, that has a huge advantage because they can immediately go to big auto manufacturers. We can offer you a clean steel car now within in 2024, and it's certified, and we here's where the carbon dioxide has all gone, the manufacturing process, then that's a huge advantage. You start to take a lot of market share, but then your competitors say, well, how is this possible? Oh, they've deployed this technology. So that's the way to get it spreading. But
Yes.
it requires journalistic input, Tamak, from guys like yourself.
I mean, I'm leaving the input side to you, Martin, so it works very nicely together in a podcast format. Journalists are here just to ask questions and then publish their podcasts, so it works very nicely.
It does. It does.
Good stuff, Martin. Thank you so much for the interview and
No, thanks very much for the opportunity to share all these exciting technologies with
thanks. Bye-bye.
you. Okay, bye. Bye now.
Have you ever wondered what actually happens in Congress every day? Stay informed on Capitol Hill's daily happenings with a concise, factual summary of the Senate and House of Representatives' activities from the previous session, free from bias, on the Congressional Record Daily Digest podcast. Subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and discover the process from the heart of U.S. politics. The Congressional Record Daily Digest, an Electricast production.
Welcome to Tuning Into Sound Wellbeing, where we harmonize your mind, body, and soul. I'm Amanda, your sound therapy expert.
And I'm Stephen, the curious explorer uncovering the mysteries of sound.
Together, we explore vibrations, frequencies, and the power of sound therapy and tuning forks.
Discover ancient wisdom, reduce stress, and tune into a healthier life. Subscribe to Tuning Into Sound Wellbeing today.
Electricast.